It's a great privilege to tell you that God's grace and mercy and peace are yours through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray he opens our hearts and minds as we hear his word. That word comes from our story, a gospel lesson, the transfiguration of Christ, Luke chapter 9. And we'll look at the whole story, but we'll look at this one verse in particular, verse 35. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Listen to him. That's our text so far. Well, another verse in our text today is from Peter when he says in verse 33, "It is good that we are here." And it feels so good to be here in this pulpit preaching for the first time in this calendar year, the first time since December 31st. It's great to be back here and have this privilege of sharing God's word with you. But maybe not everyone feels so thankful to be in church all the time, or at least there might be a draw to somewhere else. I don't know about you, but back before I had official responsibilities here on Sunday morning, if I was laying in bed under the covers and it was a cold winter's day outside and I knew that there probably would be some shoveling to do first, maybe the roads would be kind of bad, maybe I might lay under there a little bit longer. And, you know, we used to have three services, right? So I'd shoot for 8 o'clock and then, well, maybe I'll stay here till the 9:30 service and then, well, hopefully we'll make 11. And is it 11:30 already? Oh, my goodness. It's hard. It's a wrestling match sometimes, right? With our own comforts and our own desires and what God calls us to do, but more importantly, what God has for us as we gather in worship together. We used to call that Saint Serta of the Holy Posturepedic. Does that sound right? I wonder if that inner conflict would have changed for me if I had known that I was going to be coming to church and seeing what Peter and James and John saw. If I knew that I was gathering together with Christ to pray, and as a result of that, seeing Christ transfigured. And I love Matthew 17 and his account where he says, "Jesus was transfigured before them, his face shining as the sun, and his garments became white as light." Imagine that. And it was dark. We see that the disciples were actually sleepy, which kind of ties in with my example about laying under the covers, right? And so, you know, they said when they awoke, they realized that the brilliance of Christ. And so in the darkness, all of a sudden, the sun is shining. Can you imagine that? This intense light that you can't even look at. And so Peter says, you know, one of the understatements of the whole Bible, "Master, it's good that we are here," as he sees Moses and Elijah standing next to him. And suddenly Peter wants this to last forever. "I'm going to build three tents, Lord, for you and Moses and Elijah, and we're just going to stay here forever. This is going to be great," and dwell here long term on the mountain. And almost as a response to that, maybe, God the Father overshadows everything with a cloud and says, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Listen to him." Now, wouldn't that take your breath away if you knew that's what you were going to be experiencing? Maybe even the Christmas and Easter people might show up for that, right? But you see, that's exactly what we are blessed to experience each time we gather together in God's church. I know it's not as dramatic. I know that we're not seeing with our eyes the brilliance of Christ. But it's every bit as complete, every bit as real, every bit as powerful as it was that day 2,000 years ago on the mountain. Because we have the opportunity as we gather to listen to him. We come together to be in community with God and with each other. This is the place it happens. This is the place. We gather for prayer, just as the disciples did with Jesus on the mountain. And then we see the very glory of Jesus, not in the form of a bright sun. We see the very glory of Jesus in the cross that stands there, that just dominates the front of this church. But wherever you go and see the cross proclaims the glory of God. And that's called the theology of the cross, which says in essence, if you want to know God, look to the cross of Jesus Christ. If you want to know everything about God, look to the cross and see the tremendous, overwhelming grace and love that God has for us sinners, that he would come to earth and walk it in our place, that he would choose to suffer, choose to die on the cross of Calvary, choose to feel the very pains of hell on our behalf for our sins, and give to us in exchange his righteousness that he would choose to rise again and defeat death for each one of us and give us the right. And the Bible says that, give us the right to be called children of God and heirs to his kingdom. That's what the cross speaks. That is the glory of God. Every bit as bright and powerful and real as Christ himself shining like the sun on the mountain all those years ago. And there is no more glorious message to mankind than the message we proclaim as we speak of the cross of Jesus Christ. Think of the opposites here. In our sin and depravity, we see his overwhelming love. In our weakness, we see his ultimate power. In our inability to comprehend the wisdom and the glory and the grace of God, we see the generosity of the gift of faith that we receive through the Holy Spirit. That's enough. That's more than enough, and yet God gives us even more. Because again and again in the Bible, we see how God gives us more than we could possibly handle so that it overflows into our lives, over us and through us and around us. When we're blessed to have a baptism here during a worship service, we get to see and witness God in action, the Holy Spirit coming through word and water and bringing saving faith and salvation to that person being baptized. And every week, every time we gather, when we have the Lord's Supper together, we receive forgiveness and grace and stronger faith as we witness the very presence of Jesus Christ in his body and blood at this altar, in this place. We are witnesses to the presence of Christ. So when our Heavenly Father confirms in his word, just as he confirmed in his word that day on the mountain, when he confirms through his word and through the liturgy that we speak that this is his Son, the one he has chosen to redeem us from eternity, therefore listen to him, we can, and we do. We do it with certainty. We do it with confidence. We do it with great joy, knowing that God is giving us his very best through word and sacrament, through his presence among us. And like Peter and James and John, we're blessed to witness the glory of Jesus Christ, which comes through his humility, his generosity, and his abiding love. Like Peter, our hearts cry out, Lord, it is good to be here. What an understatement when Peter first said that. And the same thing today. You know, I've called on people in the hospital who've been there for a while. One of the first things they always say is, I miss being in worship with my brothers and sisters. Or homebound people who may get here once a year, if that. And they say, I really wish I could be together with everyone at our shepherd. And now, having missed just 3 weeks, as I was convalescing after my surgery, I know what they mean. There was this yearning to be together, and I came a week earlier than I should have, but I came on a Saturday night and lasted about half the service because it just was overwhelming. I had to be here, and it was so good to be among all of you, among my brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no place like this on earth. There's no more important moment than to witness the very glory of God for the redemption of mankind. This is it. So Peter said that. It's good to be here. But the text says he really didn't understand what he was saying. He was thinking Moses and Elijah came to kind of set up shop on the mountain, perhaps, and he wanted to just be there for that. But they came to strengthen Jesus, to encourage him, to uphold him, to lift him up as he considered what was ahead of him, the work that he had as he made his way slowly toward the cross of Calvary. And when God came and spoke to Peter and James and John and all present and said, this is my son, my chosen one, listen to him, he was preparing them for the work that they had ahead of them. In fact, the very next thing that happens after the transfiguration is as the disciples descend the mountain, they encounter this boy with an unclean spirit. So right away, right after this truly mountaintop experience, they encounter the effects of sin and trouble in the world. And they try to remove the spirit from the boy, but they can't do it. Only Christ, when he arrives, only Christ can do it. And so their complete dependence on Christ is confirmed. And so with us as well. Our dependence on Christ is complete. Our time together this time is a gift from God, where we can hear his voice, where we focus on the grace that flows from that cross on Mount Calvary, where we're blessed and strengthened to meet each other together in prayer and song, and ultimately where we have renewed, where we leave this place renewed for lives of purpose and meaning, which comes through service to those around us. And while we will not encounter, most likely, a boy with an unclean spirit, as we go about our lives in our little corner of the world, the German word for that is Winkel, by the way. I was talking to the teenagers today, talking about how a small group of churches together called a circuit in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we also have meetings that are called Winkels. It's our corner. We talk about our little corner. We each have our little corner of the world and the ability to meet those people there, those people who so desperately need to hear those words of grace and unconditional love that only come through Jesus Christ. They need to know the hope and the purpose of being redeemed by him. And if you think about it, through us, those people that we encounter have the chance, this glorious opportunity, to listen to him in the place where they're at. I know this one young couple. They're relatively new to the church, and they speak of how important the church and coming to church each week has become to them. And there's situations now and then where only one can come. If they have two children, and if one of them is sick, then we have to decide which parent stays home and which parent goes to church. So they have a five-minute meeting. Well, no, a two-minute meeting. They talk about what happened the week before in their lives. They talk about what's coming up in the week to come. And through those conversations, they decide which one of them needs church more. And they said it usually works out, but they're both kind of vying for it. They both want to come. And they say this: church is what helps us make sense of our lives. It's the connection with God and our calling that sends us back into the week. I like these words that they use: connection with God, our calling, sending out into the week. I like the word need. Which one of us needs church more? The privilege they express in coming to church. Not that we have to go, but we get to go. How many parents have used that with their children? Several times. Kim and I use that all the time with the kids growing up. Do we have to go? No, you get to go. This is a place where we gather together in the very presence of Christ. We receive grace and forgiveness and strength for the days to come. A place where we have the awesome opportunity to care for each other, to nurture each other, to support, encourage, and strengthen. To be used by God to prepare each other to go out into that world. And just like the Transfiguration, it's truly a mountaintop experience. Just like the Transfiguration, as soon as we come down, we encounter things that only God can do. Only God can do through us. This is a place from which we depart, equipped, prepared, energized to serve God, to serve the people we encounter in the days to come. And I know many of you already get this. You're here. You're here already. But it's always good to talk about it. It's always good to be reminded of the things that we often take for granted. And it's amazing the human being's capability to take even the grandest, most wonderful things for granted. This experience, this place, is a thing we should never take for granted. It's a privilege that God gives us to come together and listen to him. And so I mention it too, so that we can be better prepared together, better equipped to talk to others about what it means to come to church together. Yes, it's a gathering of human beings, but there's so much more going on here. So maybe in the future you'll talk about the Transfiguration and use that as an object lesson to discuss what happens here as we gather in the presence of Christ. It's not an obligation. It's not a duty. It's not performance. It is a joy. It's God's abundance for us. It's God's very best for us. It is so good to be here. In the name of Jesus, amen.